The year?
1859.
The place?
London. Characters?
Oh, you should know us by now.
Read on.
Bookcases by Martin Wade, with Michael Cockrum as Primus, Elizabeth Spriggs as Edith, David Horovitch as Gerald, and Maggie Steed as Cordelia. Episode 4, The Prosser Prize.
I am jealous, very horribly. The reason is I am in love. In love for the first time in my life. And the woman I love, Cordelia, appears in return to have a certain regard for me. But now, you see, having found this prize, I am desperate to keep it. I am sickened with fear that I may lose what I never dreamed I could win. You know, it occurs to me that I may have been happier before, when life was dull, when I wasn't in love.
Gerald?
I was happier at work, I think.
Gerald, I shall need some crates.
Some crates, Mother?
Yes. I'm packing up my possessions from the office. I'm leaving the firm.
Oh, Mother!
I want nothing more to do with it. Nothing. I shall sit at home and dream of better times. Oh, Gerald.
Oh, Mother.
Why must you make that vile boy a partner?
By vile boy, she means Primus, my dear Cordelia's son. He'll be a junior partner only, Mother.
Why must he bring along with him that other person, that sexual abnormality?
She means Simeon W. Huff, Primus's assistant.
Why have you stood by while Spavin and Spavin of Paternoster Row, publishers of religious works in 1749, has been dragged into the mire?
Oh.
Why have you allowed this fine institution to be desecrated, despoiled, disgraced?
Mother!
Look! There is the proof of it on your desk.
Ah, yes.
The shame! A secular work under the imprint, alas, of Spavin and Spavin of Paternoster Row.
Yeah.
A work of fiction. A vile perversion of a book, which I have no intention of reading, by the way. But I know the title, and it includes the word pleasure.
Ah, Simeon, good day. Care for a chop?
No, thanks. I eat neither fish nor fowl nor anything that creeps, crawls, hops, grazes, or gambols upon the earth. Mrs. S. is clearing out her office.
Yes, and I wish she'd hurry up, because I'm in next. Simeon, regarding Potatoes and Pleasure by Josephine Winthrop.
Oh, Potatoes and Pleasure, yes! I remember the very day that the manuscript arrived in the office. It was written in a bold, expressive, almost masculine hand. I devoured the work in one sitting, with tears streaming down my cheeks. Here, I was certain, was a strikingly original voice, a provocative mind, offering a sharp and yet immensely moving literary photogravure of contemporary mores.
How many copies have we sold?
Here were new rhythms, new cadences.
How many copies, Simeon?
23.
Out of a print run of 800.
Here was a tale which reached out and touched my heart.
Here is a dud, I think. Something must be done.
Cordelia, I have a confession to make.
Gorgeous, darling. I do love confessions.
It's a terrible confession.
Oh, I'm particularly fond of terrible confessions.
I'm not sure I can bring myself to utter it.
Do try, Gerald, darling. Otherwise I shall have to imagine the most appalling scenarios.
Well, it's with regard to a private detective.
Yes, darling. What have you and he been up to?
I've been employing him.
For what purpose, darling?
To spy on you.
To spy? On me? How exciting.
It's very wrong of me, very wrong. I know the reason. It's because I'm so in love with you, adore you. I can't believe that somebody as fine and wonderful as you could have come into my life.
Gorgeous, darling.
And now that we're to be married and everything seems so, well,
gorgeous, darling?
I've become insanely jealous.
Darling.
Every man in London, I'm convinced, is plotting to take you away from me. But at the same time, of course, I remember what a fine, wonderful woman you are. And I know you'd never dream of being unfaithful. But then again, I think, what right have I, useless and pitiful as I am, to be joined to such a fine, wonderful woman? Oh, Cordelia, I couldn't bear it if I were to lose you.
Gerald, darling, it would be absolutely dreadful for you, I'm sure. So tell me, what has your detective detected?
Mrs. Fabian? Mrs. Fabian? Are you still there?
Aha! The old witch has flown at last. It's mine. All mine.
Primus!
Hang on a bit. Give me a chance to sit down and put my feet up on the desk, will you? Enter.
Nice room. Nice view.
Thank you.
Primus, what about the Prosser Prize for Fiction?
What about it?
The prize is awarded for the best novel published in the last 12 months, and it's worth £1,000.
Oh, yes, I could use that.
Well, the money goes to the author, actually.
Damn.
But, Primus, if Potatoes and Pleasure were to be entered for the competition and were to win, the work would at last receive the public recognition it so richly deserves.
Ah, yes. And the bookshops and circulating libraries would be begging us for copies, and we'd shift that pile of potatoes in no time. The only difficulty, Sivian, is this. How the hell is the book going to win when it's about as entertaining as a brick wall?
You haven't read it.
Well, of course I haven't. My job's to sell books, not read them. And I certainly don't read them if their sales figures fail to justify the chopping down of a tree. Still, let's enter the puny thing. We've got nothing to lose.
September the 14th. The woman...
Darling, I wish he wouldn't keep on calling me that. It's so very unfriendly.
The woman was seen at the door of her house in East Finchley, kissing goodbye several times to a tall male in his 40s.
Tall male? That could have been you, darling.
Carrying a black bag.
Do you not have a black bag, darling?
No.
I shall have to buy you one.
And I'm 5'9¾". Perhaps it was your doctor.
Of course, my doctor.
How old is he?
70, darling.
A plumber, then. Solicitor, life insurance salesman.
Oh, any one of those, I'm sure.
Do you usually kiss them goodbye?
Always. They're absolute sweeties.
September the 15th, the woman seen in a boat on the Serpentine together with a young man wearing a blazer and straw hat.
Primus, no doubt.
And a distinctive scar across his right cheek.
Ah.
Perhaps he's a relative.
Darling, that's exactly who he is.
A nephew.
From foreign parts.
Ah.
I was showing him the delights of London. Oh, darling, is there very much more of this?
30 pages.
That's so tedious.
And so distasteful.
I'm certain that the most innocent explanations can be found in every single case.
Yes. Yes, I'm certain of it too. Oh, my dearest Cordelia, I have treated you in a most shameful fashion. No more, I promise. I shall dispense with the services of the private detective immediately.
Primus, read the Prosser Prize.
Yes, Simeon?
I feel I ought to advise you about the opposition. I'm afraid it's not good news.
Never mind. Tell me, and then I'll shoot you.
The Virginians by William Makepeace Thackeray.
Never heard of him.
Inclining towards the post-meridium of his career, perhaps, but he's in with a chance. He's at 9-2.
Next.
Dr. Thorne.
Never heard of him.
By Anthony Trollope. Another Barsetshire tale from the bearded postman. 4-1.
Next.
A Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens.
Ah.
5-2 favourite.
What are the odds on potatoes, then?
150-1.
Stake your hat in the end of Terrace on it, Simeon. I am minded to make it a winner.
Sir, the regulations and procedures of the Prosser Prize were set up by my husband.
No, madam. Not interested in the rules. You, I believe, are by tradition the chairman of the adjudicating panel.
I am, sir.
To you falls the responsibility of coaxing a consensus out of your judges. You, madam, have the casting vote if the judges are undecided. To put it bluntly, if you like a book well enough, it'll win the prize. Out of the current bunch, madam, is there a book you like well enough?
Sir, My views concerning the respective merits of the various entries must at this stage remain absolutely secret. All I can say is that in contrast to last year, when I thought there were rather too many books about growing up in Ireland, the range and breadth of the current crop has been quite staggering.
What about Pleasure and Potatoes by Josephine Winthrop, published by Spavin and Spavin?
Sir, I suppose that you have a special interest in the book?
You suppose right, madam. Now, a 100-word synopsis, in case you lost the plot. An article by Simeon W. Huff, entitled Pleasure and Potatoes, The Apotheosis of Mid-19th Century Literature. And finally, the transcript of an interview with Miss Winthrop. I wrote this book, she says, so that I might have something good to read. Impressive, eh?
Sir.
Mrs. Prosser.
If it was your intention in coming here to persuade me of this book's claim to the Prosser Prize for Fiction, then you do me and the prize a great disservice. I am not to be won over by special pleading.
Huh?
My integrity shall not be violated.
Ah.
Good day to you.
Of course, Simeon, it's all horse manure. The chief purpose of the prize is to confer beneficial publicity upon Mrs. Prosser's husband and his ever-expanding sanitary company, so that every time we take a book to the privy, his name should immediately spring to mind. But I am not to be put off. Plan B.
What is Plan B?
To do down the opposition.
Sir, this is most discourteous.
Mrs. Prosser, please. I would not have trespassed upon your goodwill a second time if I was not upon an errand of great importance. Here, a few little critiques I've put together based on research by Simeon W. Huff. Par exemple, Trollope's Dr. Thorne, A Cure for Insomnia.
Oh.
I understand, by the way, that Trollope stole the plot from his brother, and Dickens stole his plot from a playwright called Phillips.
Oh.
And Thackeray, being too mindful of his honest reputation to filch from the works of others, filched from his own.
Sir, please desist.
You may also be interested to know that I have employed the services of a private detective.
A what?
These are his findings. The dossier on Dickens is a particularly juicy read.
Do come in. Your name, I understand, is Prosser?
Ozymandias Prosser, of Ozymandias Prosser and Company, manufacturers of elegant and reliable sanitary ware. Your appliance, let me tell you, is neither elegant nor reliable. Here's our latest brochure.
Thank you, darling.
Now, madam, 2 weeks ago, I hired the services of a private detective.
Well, darling, private detectives seem to be very much a la mode.
The reason I hired him was this. I had discerned a change in my wife's demeanour. She had become, to be blunt, far happier than the quality of our relationship merited.
Ah.
She was, I surmised, deceiving me.
Did the private detective confirm your worst suspicions?
He did. He discovered that a certain Primus of the High Road, East Finchley, has visited my wife on a number of recent occasions.
Oh.
Therefore, madam, I come here with the intention of confronting the said Primus and doing the bastard a permanent injury.
But, darling, darling, the bastard is also my son.
That, madam, is a most unhappy coincidence. But you see, I am a self-made man who has acquired his fortune from sanitation, and I'm not the kind of fellow to tolerate double-dealing. By the way, madam, permit me to tell you this.
Yes?
I would never have dreamed that you could be the fellow's mother.
Oh.
You don't look a day over 20 yourself.
Oh, what a gorgeous thing to say. Now, darling, what will you have to drink? Primus, darling,
huh?
I had a deceived husband round here earlier today, and he was looking for blood.
My blood?
That was his preference. Oh, what a scene. I tore my hair, I washed his bespoke shoes with a mother's tears, I pleaded, referred to youthful folly and juvenile juices, accepted his invitation to dine out with him tonight, and how do I look?
Oh, ravishing, mother.
And at last, I think, I persuaded him to show you leniency.
Who is this cove?
Who is it? Really, Primus. How many husbands' wives are you bedding at present? His name is Ozymandias Prosser.
What? The husband of Mrs. Prosser?
Him and no other. Now, I promised him very, very faithfully, darling, that you will never, never see the woman again. So when you do see her again, you will try to be discreet. won't you, darling?
Yes. Yes, I will. My God, I have been slow.
Well, I wouldn't say that, darling.
All that lit crit and such like, when I should have been doing the woman a kindness. Excuse me, Mother. Plan C. 309, 310, 311. Ah, good morning.
Good morning. I got your notes.
Yes, and then I got yours. What a top-rank place for a rendezvous. Brisk and so on. Long way up, long way down. Prime view. But it's a queer thing, ain't it? Erecting a monument to a fire.
It was a very bold sort of note you sent me.
What I wrote was true. Honest, no flim-flam, I swear it.
Oh, whisper those words to me now.
What, about me loving you, you mean?
Yes.
Certainly, madam. I love you.
Oh, again.
I love you, I love you.
Oh, it isn't true, of course. I am not so foolish. Kiss me. Oh, as to be susceptible to the transparent flattery of an extremely attractive young man.
Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you.
No, after the judging of the various entries for this year's Prosser Prize for Fiction.
I love you.
Can you have any hopes at all that I should be open to bribes?
Ça va, son dear, but still, nonetheless, I love you. Shall we decamp to a disreputable hotel? In general, I'm in favour of clothes. They keep out the chill and all that and cover up uglinesses. But I do wish they didn't take forever to get in and out of. So many buttons and things.
Do you? Can you really love me, sir?
What? Oh, of course I do. Can. I love you. What man wouldn't?
Well, my husband.
Then your husband is a brute.
He is. He has three mistresses, you know.
He's a greedy brute. Ah! At last, divested.
My darling. Tell me again. Tell me you love me.
I love you.
Tell me you're not just saying that because I told you to, and because you want pleasure and potatoes to win the Prosser Prize for Fiction, and you think that if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. Tell me you'll love me always.
Always. Forever. Till the moon turns blue.
Oh!
From William Makepeace Thackeray to Mrs. O. Prosser. Let me be candid with you. I am not indifferent to the outcome of the Prosser Prize. Others may scorn your annual award and declare it fatuous or unseemly. But I assure you, madam, if the prize should go to me this year, it will go to one who values it. I tell you this, dearest lady, not in any way to attempt to influence your judgment, but simply because it is the truth. And I always write the truth. P.S. I do my own illustrations too. P.P.S. A very large bunch of flowers accompanies this letter. P.P.P.S. I may die in a few years.
Darling?
Yes, Mother?
I'm getting married next week.
Oh, next week, is it?
Yes, darling. Will you be there at all?
Dearest Meta, of course. Of course I will. Did you think for one moment that I would be absent on the occasion of my mother's wedding? I'd sooner miss my own funeral. When is it?
Saturday, darling.
Saturday. Ah, now that could be awkward. Saturday is the Prosser Day of Judgment.
From Tony Trollope to Mrs. O. Prosser. Watch out, Prosser. Oh, Mrs. P., you wouldn't believe how enormously in love with life I am. I love a game of whist at the club. I love fox hunting and pillar boxes and prizes. I never seem to get any prizes, do I? Not from you. Nothing for the Warden in 55. Nothing for Barchester Towers last year. Damn it, woman, what's your bloody problem, eh? Oh, yeah. P.S. A very large box of chocolates accompanies this letter. P.P.S. I've already eaten the Whirtlebury world.
If I do go to the wedding...
Mother!
If I do go, I shall wear black.
Mother!
But I think, on consideration, I shall wear black and stay at home. Oh, my poor deluded Gerald. You who are to acquire a delinquent as a stepson and make him a junior partner. Oh, your poor father. Oh, his poor father before him, and his poor father before him. Oh, woe! for the Spavins built up a fine publishing house, which devoted itself exclusively to religious works, and now it is all to be thrown down. Oh, woe! Oh, the wormwood and the gall!
Oh, dear.
From Charles Dickens to Mrs. O. Prosser. Another year, another Prosser. Would it be unseemly on my part or over-acquisitive to say how much I look forward to collecting the award for the 10th time? Yours inimitably, C.D. P.S. Please find Chocks and Flowers as per usual. P.P.S. Thank you for your most generous contribution in aid of the fallen women of London. Rest assured, I'm doing my bit, too.
Darling?
Yes, darling?
With regard to my making Primus a junior partner at Spavin and Spavin...
Yes, darling?
Well, just recently, darling, I've been thinking of not making him a junior partner at Spavin and Spavin.
What?
Well, not for a few months.
But you bastard, darling. You promised... Your promise faithfully.
I said it was very much on the cards. Having looked carefully at your son's record of achievement since he came to Spavin and Spavin, I'm of the opinion that he needs more time to settle in.
Settle in? He's transformed the whole firm.
Settle down, then. You see, when it comes to being impetuous and rash, he rather too often is. Darling. Darling?
The wedding is off.
Oh, darling, no!
The wedding is off, Gerald. You've gone back on your word, and I'll not marry a man I can't trust.
But, darling...
Goodbye, Gerald. And, despite everything, good luck.
On further reflection, though...
Yes?
Perhaps due to my own lack of business acumen, I misjudged your son. Perhaps what I saw as impetuosity and rashness is rather decisiveness and flair.
Darling, that's exactly what it is. Junior partner?
Without delay. The wedding?
It's on again.
As for A Tale of Two Cities... It was impossible for the judges not to be moved by Mr. Dickens's hymn to the power of redemption. By his wonderful portrayal of private passions set against a huge and thrilling historical backdrop.
Pity's had to lose. Uh-huh. Get on with it, woman.
This is a beautifully crafted, wonderfully observed... unput-downable novel.
Primus, Simeon, there you are.
Listen, I've been in the conveniences with one of the judges, and I have to tell you...
Yes, all the lubricious details later, please.
But Primus...
Hush, boy.
And so I come to the final book, Potatoes and Pleasure.
She's left the best to last.
With this ring I thee wed... With my body I thee worship, and with all my worldly goods I thee endow.
Gorgeous, darling.
Miss Winthrop, the judges feel, possesses a strikingly original voice. A provocative mind offering a sharp and yet immensely moving literary photogravure of contemporary mores.
Yeah, yeah.
Primus.
Her tale is one, I think, which reaches out and touches all our hearts.
Damn. She omitted the bit about new rhythms and cadences.
Primus.
Where's the Winthrop?
She's gone up to the front. Primus.
I've written her acceptance speech. It heaps so much praise on me, I may be quite embarrassed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my proud pleasure to announce the winner of this year's Prosser Prize for Fiction, sponsored by Ozymandias Prosser and Company.
Here we go.
Manufacturers of elegant and reliable sanitary ware.
Yes, yes.
And the prize goes to... A Rather Boring Continental Hotel by Davina Rivers.
Oh, well.
What? Who?
Mr. Primus.
A word in your tiny lug, if I may. You're a treacherous toad. You're a ratting rat. You persuaded me to do tunnels and trains with you under false pretenses.
What? Do you mean, Mr. Primus, that you do not love me after all? That you thought when you pressed your attentions upon me that there would be a quid pro quo?
Snake! Weasel!
By the way, have you read A Rather Boring Continental Hotel?
Of course I haven't. 200-1, I gather. It had less damn chance than potatoes. No one's ever heard of Davina Rivers. Where is she? I'll kick her.
She's over there, by the pot plants. The young gentleman standing with her is Mr. Newby, her publisher.
Oh, yes?
Man of great charm and absolutely enormous energy.
What? More than me, you mean? The bastard!
Primus, it's very good of you to come. Champagne?
Please, lots. Well, Mr. Spavin, Gerald, or even Step Peter, this is all very pleasant, very quiet. Nice touch having the reception at the office. Cheers! To you and me. Ah, is Mother around?
Which one?
Well, either, really.
Mine stayed at home. Yours has left for Paris.
Paris?
Yes, for a fortnight.
On a tot?
No, with a very old friend. Ozzy...
Oh, Ozzy Prosser, yeah. The privy person.
She didn't want to go at all, but she thought she ought to oblige him. That's your mother for you.
Yes. Who got the bouquet?
I did.
Ah. No prize for potatoes, by the way. We was robbed. But I've had an idea. We'll start a book club and give away copies by way of a free introductory offer. That should do it.
Well, if you'll excuse me, Primus, I have a train to catch.
Oh, yes? Where are you off to?
Folkestone.
Oh, of course, your honeymoon. While you're there, Stepater, I think I'll organise some office refurbishment.
Oh, my office, do you mean?
No, no, mine. New wallpaper, really big desk, lots of pictures, brass plaque on the door. What fun. So, have a good time.
Yes, I'll try.
And don't worry about a thing. I'm in charge. I can handle it. Publish and be damned. That's the way. Au revoir, Stepeter.
That was the final episode of Bookcases by Martin Wade. Primus was played by Michael Cochran, Edith by Elizabeth Spriggs, Cordelia by Maggie Steed, and Gerald by David Horovitch. Simeon was played by Charles Simpson, Mrs. Prosser by Frances Jeter, Prosser by Geoffrey Whitehead, and Thackeray by David Antrobus. Bookcases was directed by Cherry Cookson.